Today, folks, as we continue, as Brian said, with our series of Lives Forever Changed, and we come to look at Mary Magdalene today and find this in John 21 through 18 will be our scripture reading. So let's stop and talk about Mary Magdalene for just a moment. So we know that Mary Magdalene's life was changed forever. She had, it tells us in the scripture that she had seven demons in her. Seven. And God took those seven demons out, and it changed her life forever. She became a follower of Christ. She became one that wanted to be wherever Jesus was. He was present with her at that given time. She followed him around. Not that she was a disciple, but she was a follower of Christ. She truly loved Jesus Christ. She could never thank him enough for what he had done for her. Is anybody here like that today? You could never thank him enough for what he's done for you. He died on a cross. If he's never done anything else, he died on a cross for your sin. He died on a cross that we can have eternal life. He paid your sin debt. No one else could do that. You couldn't do it, but he could do it. And so we know that, as we read in chapter 10 a while ago, that he calls us by name. And folks, we know that after the resurrection, we're going to see this in just a few minutes. After the resurrection, he quit calling us friends. He quit calling everyone friends. He started calling them brothers. And you're his immediate family. Because he died for you. And hopefully you know the importance, as Mary Magdalene did, that he died for you and that you desire and love him enough to follow him. Well, what would have made Mary so happy about Jesus and the way that he changed her life? Well, folks, I don't know about y'all, but I don't know how many demons I had in me. I bet you I had more than seven. I'll about bet you I had more than seven. Kenny thinks that's funny, and that probably is funny because he knows I did have a bunch of them. I had demons from every direction, and I still do in a way. I have them hit me and want back in, but because of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, they don't come back in. I can keep them at bay, but I got to fight it all the time. I'm kicking and pushing and shoving, keeping them away from me. In Jesus' name, I have to tell them, Pete, all the time. Because they are there, folks. They would love to move right back in, and they would love to take you right away from Jesus. You remember Job, the story of Job? And he would not give up. He would not give in. And Jesus told the old devil, he said, no, you're not going to kill him, but you can do to him whatever you want. He's not going to give in. And he didn't. Sometimes, folks, in our lives that we live, we feel like giving in, don't we? We feel like we've had so much happen that we can't overcome it. We feel like that we're just whipped to no end. Me and Tammy was talking about this morning before we got to church. And I said, you know, about this one lady, I said, you know, to me, she would have to get up every morning and feel just like somebody slapped her with a board because of the things that she's been through in her life. She would have to have a heavy, heavy load. But it's only because of God and his love for us that he sent his son Jesus to die upon that cross. But what happened after that? It was even greater and better than that. And that's what we're going to look at here in a minute, is how he changed the life of Mary Magdalene. He had brought those demons out of her. And she wanted to be with Jesus wherever he was. She didn't want to get arm's length away from him. She was at the cross. She was at when he was taken to the grave. She was right there for him, and she was waiting for the Sabbath to end so that she could go right back that day and basically embalm him. Is what they were doing at that time. We do it different today, but basically it would have been embalming him. I don't think it says Mary Magdalene in the scripture, but if you look at Luke 7, you find a woman that was in Luke 7 that this woman was an evil woman, a sinner. Who knows what she was? But Jesus had went home with a Pharisee. And what was he? He was supposed to be the leader in the church, but what was he really? He was probably no better than the woman that came to wash Jesus' feet, because he never offered to wash Jesus' feet. He never offered Jesus any kind of kindness. He never gave him a kiss of greeting when he come in. He never done anything. But this lady come in the house where Jesus was dining with this Pharisee. And Luke 7, y'all can read it when you get home, and you'll catch up on all this. I don't know if it was Mary Magdalene for sure. I don't believe the scripture calls her by name, but it doesn't, does it, Brian? But I've looked at that several times, but it could have been. So it was a lady like Mary Magdalene. If it wasn't, but it could have been. And so whatever, whoever it was, he changed her life, because she cried upon his feet and took her hair and wiped his feet. And she kissed upon his feet. How many people you want to kiss their feet? This lady loved him. She loved Jesus for what he had done for her. And she could never thank him enough. And so, folks, we see in the scripture in John 20. If you look at John 20, the 1 through 18. John 20, 1 through 18. We see that Jesus has been crucified. And we see that he's been placed in the grave. And the Sabbath is over. And Mary Magdalene, now listen, this is important right here. Mary Magdalene gets up early that morning. Early that morning. Now Mark Nim's going on a cruise this week for Alaska cruise, and he's got to get up at 2 o'clock one morning to get gone and get there and get on this airplane. Early one morning, huh, Mark? And so there you go, Char. You're going to think, I'm with Mary Magdalene this week when we're up trying to get to Nashville. But so there we are. We're up early. But what happens when you're up early of a morning, folks, before everything opens up, before everything starts happening? That's the best time in the world to be on Jesus' terms, to meet Jesus. She was up early because she didn't want to miss a thing. She wanted to go to the tomb. She wanted to embalm his body with these spices and the things that they had bought that day, that afternoon after the Sabbath had ended. And so she's got all of this stuff gathered up. And there was some other women with her, it tells, and some other of the Gospels. But it talks about in John about Mary. And this is what it says. It says, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple. The one whom Jesus loved, she said. They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter. Well, if you stop right there, that was because Peter was older and the other disciple was younger. John was younger, and as you get older, you can't run with these young guys like he could. And so the young one, John, reached the tomb first. This is important, folks. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there. But he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside, and he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. Now Peter went inside. Here John is. He has stooped down, looked in this tomb, and to see what's there. But he didn't go in. He was the youngest. He was the strongest, I'm sure. And he could have got there. Why didn't he just go on in? Because it was the oldest. It was the oldest, the wisest, that took this. Peter, he was one that he was about every bit about full speed ahead. Full speed ahead. John took a step backwards. And we see that Peter went on in.
So while we'll start at verse 6. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside, and he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. You hear that? They still hadn't understood the scriptures that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied. "And I don't know where they put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father, but go and find my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord," then gave him his message. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Folks, there's so much here that it would be hard to really talk about it. But for just a moment, let's talk about Mary. Let's talk about the resurrection. Let's talk about what went on that morning at the tomb. That morning, Mary, as we said, she rose early that morning to go to the tomb. She had all kinds of problems facing her. You ever wake up early of a morning, and the first thing you think about are the problems facing you that day? You ever think about that? I do. I wake up early in the morning, and so many times, instead of giving God thanks for allowing me to wake up today, instead of that, I'm thinking about what's fixing to hit me. I've got this, and this coming down the pike right here on me. And it's coming like a freight train. She had problems. She had Roman guards to deal with. She's going to the tomb. They were watching the tomb. She didn't know that they weren't going to be there. Had she not felt the earthquake that rolled the tomb back? Had she not felt anything that morning different about being in the presence of God? Because we know she woke up early thinking about Jesus. If she was thinking about Jesus and in tune with Jesus, I believe that you, when you wake up early of a morning, and Sunday morning's my best morning to get up early because I try to be more in tune with God on Sunday morning. I should be just as the same on Saturday morning and Friday morning and Thursday morning. But you have a tendency to want to lay in the bed a little bit longer than you do on Sunday morning. But she is up. She's thinking about this stone. She's thinking about these guards. As soon as she gets there with the other ladies that has bought all the spices, there's no guards, and there's no stone, and there's an empty tomb. As she stoops and she looks inside, she sees the wrappings, which was probably placed on I think about the resurrection in the tomb. I think about my grandmother's cellar at Cottage Grove. They had a cellar dug, granddaddy dug up under our old house, old two-story house, and it had ledges in that cellar where you could set cans and jars of stuff in there where they wouldn't freeze. And every house in Cottage Grove had one, didn't they, Diane? And they had the old cellars like that, and we had one up on the highway. It had a wide ledge, and you could get up there and lay down. And sometimes us kids would get up there and lay down, and they'd find you laying down up in the cellar. It's cool. You didn't have an air conditioner. You go down in the cellar and lay down on that thing. Other than a chicken snake, you didn't have a problem. But that was the only problem you'd have. So we would be thinking about, that was what I think about when I think about that ledge that Jesus was laying on. And those clothes laying there folded up. Folks, people, they rob graves every day. Here in the 70s in Henry County, Dickie was sheriff. I bet he could tell you there were several people that dug up graves in Henry County. I can show you several cemeteries that were dug up because they thought there was valuables there. They were going to dig them up, get the valuables. They took the valuables if there was any there. But they didn't take the body. So somebody steals the body and leaves the clothing? That's backwards of what we hear today, isn't it? Why would they take the body? They didn't. Jesus had rose from the dead, just as he had said he would in 3 days. Folks, he'd been talking about rising, that he would rise from the dead in 3 days. He'd been telling the disciples. Now, this is what's going to happen, guys. We're fixing to go, and they're going to crucify me, and they're going to put me on the cross, and they're going to take me down. They're going to put me in the grave. I'm going to stay there 3 days, and I will be resurrected. They were hearing the first part, but they didn't hear the last part. Why? Because we don't want to hear the last part. This is the way we live our lives as Christians, folks. We hear what we want to hear in this gospel, but we don't hear the last part so many times. And so we see that Mary goes back and tells Peter and John, look, I've just been to the tomb. There's his clothing's there, but he's not there. Somebody has taken him and put him somewhere. And Peter and John left to come and see what was going on for themselves. Right off the top of my head, I can't tell you, but Ecclesiastes, you can go home and read that. Read the whole book, you'll find it. But it talks about two witnesses being better than one. You got Peter and you got John. Two are better than one. You got Mary telling Peter and John to come and see what's going on. They are investigating what's happening, what's happened. Mary is standing there weeping. How do we react when our loved ones pass? We stand at the grave and we weep. We should be giving Jesus praise, God praise, that he's prepared for us a place for our loved ones to go, and that we know that if they know Jesus and have Jesus in their heart, that they will have eternal life. But it's hard. It's so hard for us to give up our loved ones, folks. And so we see that Mary is standing at the tomb and she's weeping. And Peter and John have looked and done their little investigation. And they saying, well, we're going back home. You got to stop and think about this scene right here, folks. They're going back home. Why in the world didn't they stay there with Mary? And let's see if somebody shows up that can tell us something about what's going on here. They didn't understand the scriptures, first of all. That's what we just read. That was the reason that they didn't stay. That's the reason that they didn't want to be caught. They didn't understand the scriptures. And two, in the back of their mind, Peter has just denied Christ. And in the back of their mind, he's saying to John probably, we need to probably go home, get in the room, lock a door. Because if they figure that we're a follower of Christ and we get caught here, they're probably going to do the same thing to us that they done to Jesus. So we don't need to be caught with this guy or around him or anything else. Be a good time for us to get out of here. And they did. But Mary stayed. And when she stayed, folks, she had already had her life changed by Jesus. She had had her life changed once while Jesus was alive. He had healed her. If you've never been healed by Christ, if he's never had the demons run out of you by Christ, you don't understand how it is. Isn't it, Randall, how it is that when the demons are run out of you and you don't have those demons anymore and how you can praise God, I don't have those demons anymore, then you have something there that it's special. It's not like a lot of people because a lot of people don't have demons. I'm so glad I'm not like that punch over here. I'm not a lady of the town, you know. I'm not a dope addict. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not anything. But I'll go home, call Brian, and me and Brian, we'll talk about everybody. You know, what does that make us? Yeah. So, you see what I'm saying? The people did not understand. But we got Mary, and she's standing there, and Peter and John's gone home, and she looks in, and there's two angels. Now, I'm not sure about the scripture on this either, but in the book of Exodus, you see that when they had the mercy seat and they hammered out two cherubims, one at the foot and one at the head, you know, and they faced each other. There was two angels sitting at the foot and the head facing each other. You see a connection there anywhere? Amen. Sure you do. And there's a whole lot of connections if you go back and look through all of this. But without getting on a chase there, we'll stay with where we're at. But we look, folks, and we see that Mary sees these angels looking behind them, behind where they're at, looking at someone. And she's thinking, who are they looking at? Are they seeing the gardener that has just spoken? Who are they looking at? You see, the angels were looking at Jesus. And she turns around and she looks. And she says, sir, what did you do with his body? She sees a gardener. Why? Because she did not understand Scripture. She had not yet understood Scripture. And the other reason was she wasn't looking for it to be Jesus. Folks, so many times in our lives we suffer each and every day because we are not looking for Jesus to be there with us. He's the best friend you'll ever go have. He's there with you 24/7. When you need him, he's there for you. But don't wait till you need him. Go to him during the day while you don't need him. Give him praise. Thank him for what he's doing for you. Don't be griping, complaining all the time about what's happening. No, it's a whole lot of stuff happens throughout the week we don't like. It's a whole lot of stuff happens that I'd like to change. There's a whole lot of stuff. If somebody would just put me in charge, I would not be like that no more. We could change every bit of this. But instead, nobody's put me in charge. And I can't change anything. Not one thing. And so why not just give God praise? Just give him praise and thank him for where we're at, whatever that circumstance might be. But see, Mary wasn't looking for Jesus. She was looking at somebody here that she was seeing, but it sure wasn't going to be Jesus until he called her name. And Jesus had told him before he is crucified in John 10 that you're the sheep. You're my sheep, and if I'm going to be your shepherd, then I'm going to lay down my life in front of the door of the sheepfold every night and protect you. So when you go to bed and he's got you in a pen, he's got you all herded up into a pen, he's watching over you, and he's laying down in the doorway of your sheepfold. He's there for you. And he says, and then when morning comes and I call you by name, my sheep will follow me. When he calls you by name the next morning, do you follow him? Yeah, most of the time we do. If it's not something that's just really, really, he's calling us to something that's just really, really hard, really, really tough, we will follow him. But you see, Mary Magdalene, her life had been changed. From the beginning, she was one that had seven demons. Now, what that consisted of, I don't know if it was shopping demons where she went shopping every day. I don't know if it was something else where she traded cars every day, bought a new Lincoln every day. I have no idea what her demons was. I got plenty of my own. I know what some of my demons are, and I hope you know and recognize your demons. I hope you see your weaknesses. But I hope today, folks, as we talk about Mary and the disciples, I hope not only do you recognize your demons and see your demons, I hope Jesus has touched you and healed you, and you do not have those demons anymore. Today you're standing, kicking and pushing and shoving them back in the name of Jesus. Get behind me, Satan. And he will. He will. So, folks, we come and we see that when we look at this end of this scripture right here, that she goes back and tells Peter and John, they are the disciples. She's a lady that has really no say in anything during this time of the world and this time of Jesus' time. She goes back and tells Peter and John, I have seen the Lord, and he is alive. So we see that she is the tough one. Peter's not the tough one. John's not the tough one. John's the fast one. John's not the tough one. Peter's, he gets there. He's going to see what the deal is and find out. He's not the tough one. It's Mary. She's the tough one. And it's also amazing to me, folks, that Peter and John did not see those angels, did they? They didn't see them. But Mary saw them. Because God showed them to Mary because her love for him had not faltered. Her love for him had been the same every day. It had not changed. Does your love for Jesus change any throughout the week? Today I'm with this group of friends, so my love for Jesus is not what it should be, not what it was yesterday when I was with the church group. You see, our love for Jesus has a tendency to change depending upon what group of friends we're in. That's not going to work, folks. That's not going to work. Jesus tells us that we can't be on the middle of the fence because you're going to fall off. And if you straddle a barbed wire fence, that's going to hurt you. Or electric fence really going to hurt you. So you can't be up on the fence. You got to either be hot or cold. You can't be in the middle. So, folks, as you think about this, really and truly, the disciples were a little bit on the lukewarm side when it came to the crucifixion and the resurrection. It was after Jesus rose from the dead that they put all of their faith into Jesus. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And they never looked back. And Mary, you can't make me believe that she wasn't right there with them as they took the church and took off with the church. I believe one of their biggest helpers would be Mary. So, folks, as you stop and you think about lives changed, we want our lives to be changed. We want God to bless us. We want God to have prepared me a place that when I get there, that I will have a place already built. You know, we laugh a lot about heaven. We get there, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. We're going to have a little cabin down on the creek, you know. Well, I think when we get there, we're going to be sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping him 24/7. I think that we're going to be in his presence, and we're going to know that presence because we are his sheep. We're going to know his presence, and we're going to know when he calls our name. Now, what duties he might have for us when we get there, I don't know. But I do know that we'll be in his presence, just as Brian said last week. I do know Jesus will be there, and that's all I know, and I don't care about anything else. Whether I got a cabin on a creek or whether I got the biggest mansion there, I don't care. I don't care. So, folks, today, if your life has never been changed by Jesus Christ, I want you to stop and I want you to think about it, because he offers that to you just as he offered it to Mary, just as he offered it to everyone then. He offers it to you today. And folks, that's the greatest thing, the greatest gift, the greatest blessing you'll ever receive is knowing Jesus Christ. and living for Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.